We're going to talk more about how you can be involved in Love Gives here, but first, I'm joined by Manny. This is our pastor of children's ministry here, and we have the privilege of participating in a dedication today. And Manny, why don't you invite our family forward?
Yes, it's the Moore family, Colby, Brooke, and their boys. They're actually going to dedicate two of their boys today,
awesome.
Crew and Braxton.
And as they're coming, this is a time where parents come before their church family and just want to invite God into the adventure, the journey, and sometimes, honestly, the challenge that is parenting. We believe that baptism waits until somebody, you know, makes that decision for themselves and that profession, but we also recognize the incredible value when God blesses us with these little lives of ours. And thank you guys for being up here and helping us to remember to invite God really into all of life, including this very, very important part. And we invite parents to select a life verse or verses. So Manny, would you share those with us?
Yes. So the first one they're going to do is Crew. And the verse that they chose for Crew is, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith. Be courageous, be strong, do everything in love." And that's 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. And then for Braxton, they chose Joshua 1:9. And Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." All right. So if everybody wants to stand, we're going to pray for them. God, we thank you that you're a good God, that you're a good father, and you give good gifts. And God, we thank you so much today and lift up these boys to you, Crew and Braxton. And we just ask that you be with them as they walk through their lives. God, both of their verses talked about being courageous. And we just ask that you help them to be courageous. Help them to be courageous in knowing you, God. We ask that they know that you love them. We ask that you put people in their paths to help them be strong, to encourage them to be courageous, and to encourage them to grow closer to you, Jesus. We ask that you unite this family, be with them as they walk with these boys through life, and just help them with everything that they need, God. And Jesus, in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We were having our own conversation over here. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Now I'm being joined by Pastor Jimmy, our master of ceremonies during this incredible season called Love Gives. And as we want to share the opportunity with you this week, check out this video of what's happening in Kenya. It's not every day that we get the opportunity to impact a human life for better. And yet that's exactly what's happening here at Gateway School in Kericho, Kenya.
These children face quite a lot. It's a big challenge. They face abuse, sexual abuse. They don't get all the meals. Maybe they can get one meal a day, and therefore they get malnutrition.
The children we receive here, I must say that they are vulnerable. Some are born of single mothers or single parents. Some are also left behind as orphans, but with conditions, medical conditions. We have had children who are living with HIV. We have had children who have gone through a lot of trauma. So what we do is that we conduct home visits. And when we visit their homes, we get to make sure that we convince the guardian or the parent that this child has hope. So basically what Gateway is doing, we are preaching hope even to those that had thought that it was the end of the world for them.
Gateway serves the child. And I believe that service to humanity is service to God. Here they receive free transport, free food, free clothing, and free education.
The teaching that we provide is holistic. We equip them with talents. We identify their talents. We develop their talents. We teach them. We educate them and provide the very basic of needs, like food. And so these children, when they go out there, it is our prayer that they fit into the modern day community fully.
There's over 2,000 orphaned and vulnerable children in this county alone. And right now we're only able to serve 130 of those children. And so we know there's more need out there.
If we are able to expand and have more resources, we shall be able to give an opportunity for a child to get a meal and also to get learning in the school.
Well, right now we're trying to build 8 more classrooms, a fairly large lunchroom and kitchen so that we can feed all those children. And then, of course, we have to be able to get them back to their homes each and every day. And that means more buses. And then, of course, we need the teachers to fill those rooms. We need the janitors to clean the rooms. We need the kitchen staff. We need bus drivers. So it's an extensive list.
If we can absorb more, it will help to reduce the mayhem that is out there, because there are many children out there who still don't have hope, who still don't have parents, who still don't have anybody to take care of them. So having many classes, we will be able to accommodate many more.
We usually ask for a $35 a month donation, and that's actually what it costs us to provide the support and services that you see here.
I would advise and encourage people who are willing to get to sponsor these children, because through that, you spread the gospel, you spread the good news that there is hope despite where you're coming from.
In Washington Heights, we have a couple of ways to be involved in this opportunity. One is to become a sponsor, and the second is to contribute toward the expansion project to be able to house more students. And during our season of Love Gives, what do you say we show some love here and truly have the opportunity to impact the future, the life of a child that matters so much to God? So, Jimmy, how can people be involved in that?
Yeah, what I love is, you know, Washington Heights is a group. We can't do everything, but we can do something, right? And so what I love is we're impacting and giving hope to people in Kenya, specifically these kids. So last week we had about 200 people sign up to sponsor some of these kids. So we went out, you know, people were out there getting your picture. We still have about 50 left over. If you didn't get a chance, you can go in there, head over into the Welcome Center. We'll take your photo. I will fly out in 2 days, go to Kenya, hang your photo in a classroom, let the kids come in, pick your photo, and bring back a picture of you with that kid in a week. And so that'll be exciting. In addition, because we're adding 300 spots in this school, we're doubling it. And because we're doubling it, you're going to see just some construction going on right now. We've committed to kind of build a building too. And so they've already started. The government there is so excited about this school because it's making a huge impact in the community. They've asked them to double all their classrooms, and they've been unable to until this year because of Washington Heights. And so now they're doubling first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. And that's where all these kids who have no hope are getting hope now. It's a great, great opportunity.
And it's incredible. I was there with Pastor Mike back in August, and they were hammering sticks into the ground of where yeah. The building was going to go. And you can already see that it is well underway there.
Oh, it's incredible.
And what an opportunity it is. There are a couple of costs this year with Love Gives. One is for the school project, and then you also saw in the video a little bit before that one that we're going to do Feed My Starving Children, which is when we pack 275,000 meals in about 2 hours, and we pay for all those supplies and for the shipping as well, and the combined cost of those two things is $135,000. So that's what we're looking at during this season. we're underway, and there's opportunities to be a part of helping us reach that goal. And if we exceed that goal, we've said this before, not one penny of that stays here. No. It all goes to the school in Kenya. And so whatever is earmarked for Love Gives, that's where it's going to go, and nothing will stay here.
Thank you guys so much for your generosity. We'll be taking two trips to Kenya next year. You're more than welcome to join up and see the kid you've sponsored or the kids in the school. Thank you again.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll see you. So let's turn our attention to the message for today. And just for this 1 week, what I want to do is look at the heart behind Love Gives. Why do we do it? And I think it would be easy to say, well, you know, those are good things, and, you know, it'd be great, the world would be a better place if we did more good things. And certainly that's true. But there is something that I think even goes deeper than that, that is connected to the very heart of God. And that being a part of those kind of efforts, with no strings attached, but simply meeting a need in God's name, is something that connects us more to the heart of God. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a story in the Old Testament that is one of those stories that just seems random. But here's the thing, you know, one of those unusual sorts of stories. I didn't even know that was in there. And we may even conclude that the Bible is a collection of just diverse and random stories, and what does one have to do with the other? And I want us to maybe rethink that, because the Bible is unique in this world. It is 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, written by some 40 authors over the span of 1,500 years on three different continents, and from beginning to end, it tells one story. And when you look really close, there's like this thin red line of redemption of what God is doing and who God is that just runs throughout it. And in this seemingly random story, we're going to see more of that, more of the heart of God on full display. We're going to meet four guys. What are their names? We never know. God knows what they are, but we're not going to see them in this story. Four random guys. And they have a condition that is still around today. It's called leprosy. And today we refer to it as Hansen's disease. Not that prevalent now. It was more back then. And there was great fear along with that. It's a skin condition. And so if you had leprosy back in the day, you were on the outside of the community looking in. And if you were walking down the street and you had leprosy, you had to let other people know that you had this condition. How did you do that? By yelling, "Unclean!" So they could get on the other side of the street or make some distance between you and them. We're going to see that factor into this story as well. So let's jump into this story and see the heart of God on display here, the heart behind Love Gives. Afterward, Ben-Hadad, king of Assyria, mustered his entire army and went up and besieged Samaria. We don't know about siege works in our day of modern warfare, but this was common back in that day. The cities back then, the defense system was a huge impenetrable wall. And so even a really strong army, when it came up against one of those strong and high walls, could not breach it. And so what did they do? Well, they set up camp around that city. They would try to cut off the water supply, and you set aside food and provisions inside of the city. But the strategy went something like this: we'll just wait them out. And sooner or later, they're going to run out of food, and they're going to run out of water, and they can either choose to starve to death and we win, or they surrender and we win. And that's the condition inside of this city. And there was a great famine in Samaria as they besieged it, until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. I don't know what you had for Thanksgiving, but I'm kind of surprised a donkey's head never took off, you know, as one of those, you know, treats for a special kind of day. This is extreme conditions, right? And how much is 80 shekels of silver? And we don't know exactly the value that was attached to it at the time, but it's 2.5 pounds of silver. I think even then, that was a lot for something that is not that great. And the fourth part was a cab of dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. What's that about? Well, if you try to leave the city, they kill you. Anybody tries to get in with supplies, they kill you. Well, doves can fly out. They would eat some seeds and come back and then do their business. And people are thinking, well, at least there's some nutritional value in that. And that was selling for the bargain price of 5 shekels of silver for dove's dung. Desperate times and people in harm's way. Now, there were 4 men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate, and we find out they're not even on the inside of the gate of this city. They're on the outside. Why are they on the outside? Because they're lepers, and they're cut off from the community. And so imagine being on the outside of the city walls. Here comes an army to lay siege to the city inside the walls. You're between those two rock and hard places. And what is a guy to do? They said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, 'Let us enter the city,' the famine is in the city and we shall die there." So that's not a great idea. "But if we sit here, we die also." That's not so great either. "So now, come on, let's go over to the camp of the Assyrians." So they're weighing their odds, right? And they're thinking this thing through. We try to go in the city, we die. We stay here, we die. We go over there, we probably die, but maybe not. Maybe they'll be nice to us. And so we kind of got 2 strikes against us, another half a strike over here, but maybe that'll work out well. And so they kind of come to this conclusion. So you're saying there's a chance. Let's go over to the camp. "And if they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, you know, we shall but die. What have we got to lose?" Now, one of the things you got to realize about an army that comes to lay siege to a city is that they bring everything with them. So we're going to see some tents and things like that, and we think, oh, are they camping out around this? This is more like the Assyrian or the Syrians are glamping. Anybody familiar with glamping? It's glamorous camping, right? Nobody sleeps on the ground. It's like bringing a Hilton hotel room with you in the outdoors because you want some fresh air. I just say stay at the Hilton, but some people like glamping, and that's what they have. They brought the kitchen with them. They brought all these supplies. They have everything at their disposal. Life is great for them as they're just waiting for life to end for the people inside the city. "So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Assyrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Assyrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, 'Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us.'" In other words, we got bigger, badder armies than us who are coming at us. We need to get out of here. So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was. So just picture that. The camp's empty. And here come these 4 guys walking into camp thinking, maybe this is our only chance. It's a slim one, but maybe this is our only chance to live. And they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and they ate and drank. And they carried off the silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried off the things from it and went and hid them. And who could blame them, right? They walk into this camp expecting to be greeted by an army that may or may not, probably not, give us some mercy and let us live, and they discover they left everything behind. And here's just the 4 of us, and we got all this stuff. Maybe the picture of what they did on that day is they came across a treasure. And what is the first thing that they do with this treasure? Tells us, you know, that they get some of it and they like stuff it in their pockets, and then they're looking around, there's nobody else here, let's dig a hole in the ground, let's hide some for later. But then they come to one of those aha moments where they decide, maybe we should do something more than that. And again, I think we understand, you know, their reaction at this point in time. But then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This is a day of, what are the next 2 words? Good news. This is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. We don't do the right thing. It's not going to go well for us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. And all of a sudden, there's this realization, hey, there's a whole bunch of people who are in harm's way, eating donkey heads and dove's dung. We're sitting on a treasure. Let's not keep it all to ourselves. They go back to the city. A lot of the people believe them, and they head out and they discover, yeah, there's this incredible bounty that's out there. There were some people who doubted and thought it was a trap and never went and didn't experience everything that was available to them. But many of them did. So that's the story. How do we make this real? How do we apply this to our lives? What does it have to do with a season like Love Gives and seeking to just be a part of blessing other people? Here's the first principle of this story. When you receive mercy and grace, share it. When they were making the decision to head over to the camp of the Syrians, what were they hoping for? They were hoping for mercy. What is mercy? I think sometimes we use mercy and grace interchangeable, and certainly there are parts of that that overlap, but there's also parts that are distinct from one another. Mercy is when what we deserve is withheld. Maybe we deserve death because we're the enemy to the Syrians, but maybe they'll just let us live. That's mercy. When a punishment is withheld, that's mercy. What is grace? Grace is when you're given something you don't deserve. Grace is a gift. So one is not getting what you should get. The other is receiving what you don't deserve. Mercy and grace. What is it that people like us have received from God? Mercy and grace. Bible puts it this way, what do we deserve when it comes to a holy God is to be separated from him because we are not holy. In one sense, these were physical lepers, spiritually speaking. We're unclean. And the news about ourselves is worse than we might have feared. But the news about God's love is even better than we hoped. What have we received from God? Mercy and grace. What we deserve has been withheld, and we've been given something that is far beyond what we really deserve. And so when that happens, what do you do with it? And we can sit on it. We can keep it to ourselves. And on one level, I think it's understandable, especially when you first come across it. But all of a sudden, when you realize that there's more going on than just you, there's an opportunity to share it. This is the day of good news. If we are silent and wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. We're entering the Christmas season, and an announcement made by a group of angels to some surprised shepherds out in the field, telling about the birth of Jesus in this world. This is good news of great joy for all people. What was God seeking to do in this world with good news? To bless all people, not just some, but all. And so it's meant to be shared, mercy and grace. Second part of this story, we are better together than we are alone. And here's the part of that story. They said to one another, we are not doing right. Their aha moment came when they were in context with each other. Now, would they have come to this conclusion if it was just them singularly by themselves? That's a really hard word to say. Or would they, you know, not have come to that conclusion? Maybe they would have, but here's what we do know. They came to that conclusion with one another. And there are some things we learn and some things we understand and some things that we apply in the context of one another that may or may not happen when we are just by ourselves. But a relationship with God was meant to be done in community with one another. That's one of the reasons that we're big supporters, big encouragers of getting plugged into a small group where we can develop the kind of relationships that we see even pictured here. You know, we have a meet and greet room after the first service. Somebody came in and they're new here and they said, wow, that room is really big and there are a lot of people in there. How do you get to know anybody? Small groups is how you do it. One person giving a little bit of their feedback about their small group experience said this, I have joined two groups. And by the way, we're gonna start a group for people who join too many groups. I've joined two groups. One meets on Wednesdays, a women's group. This is a group I feel is meeting my needs more than I ever expected or imagined. The ladies are amazing. The leader is so kind, compassionate, and her leadership skills are amazing, along with the fact that she allows everyone to take an equal part. I have felt welcomed and was treated like I belonged from the day I started. The other group I have joined is a monthly book club that meets on the first Monday of each month. The leader is also kind, or communication skills are awesome. And the ladies of the group all bring a great perspective and chemistry that is very Christ-like. Both groups are a blessing and answer to my prayers. Being here has enhanced my relationship with God more and more every day, helping me make my journey and my Christian faith a beautiful testament to who God made me to be. We're better together than we are alone. And there are some things that we discover, some things that we learn, some things that we apply in the context of trusted relationships that we may or may not discover all on our own. Another part of this story, there's a bigger picture than just me. Right? These guys came to the conclusion, wow, there's a lot of stuff here, and we stumbled upon it, but oh yeah, it was all those people eating donkey heads, and we need to think about something more than ourselves, something bigger than ourselves. So they said, now therefore come and let us go and tell the king's household. Let's share this with people who need it. And I think there are stories that happen along the way that aren't from about, 800 years before Jesus came along that help us to remember that when we are generous and we recognize that there's a need there that is important and that is large, there needs to be a whatever it takes mentality that goes along with it. There's a story just recently, my wife and I just watched a movie about this on Friday. This happened in 2018, the movie was just made, but there was a Thai soccer team and their coach, who's all the way on the left-hand side, that made their way into a cave in Thailand. And when they entered the cave, monsoon rains began, and it began to flood portions of the cave. They were about 2 miles underground inside of this cave, and now sections of it were completely flooded. And here's kind of a picture of what it looks like, and you can see that there are some scary places along the way, but the boys could not walk out of this cave anymore. So what do you do, and how do you rescue kids who spent 2 weeks in the dark inside of that cave? Well, there was a whole bunch of people that got together and began to think about that and plan and strategize about what to do. And people from all over the world came together. Some 100 different countries offered up help of various kinds, and people got together. Many didn't even speak the same language. And it's not cheap to carry out a rescue effort like this. But I gotta tell you, nobody was counting, well, how much does one oxygen tank cost? And how much food do we need to supply? There was an important mission at stake. Get those boys out alive. One of the divers, his name is Suman Gunan. He was a retired Thai equivalent of a Navy SEAL, and he died returning on a dive when he ran out of oxygen trying to discover where the boys were located. But that didn't stop the effort, because something really important was at stake. And then eventually what they did is they made their way to the boys, they sedated them, put them in wetsuits, gave them oxygen masks, tied their hands behind their back, their feet together, and these divers brought them out one by one, and they brought out alive every single boy and their coach. Some had to spend some time at a hospital, but here they are at a press release after they were all well once again, and it was an incredible rescue, and it had behind it a whatever it takes mentality, because sometimes there's just a bigger picture that's really important and deserves our best effort. And many of the things that we might apply at other times, like, gee, how much is all of this going to cost, get superseded by something that is even more important. There's a bigger picture than just me. And there's something that God is doing in this world of ours. And there are people who are in harm's way. And so to get some resources into play for people who need it the most, it's just a picture of what God was even doing in this story all those years ago. And a child in a school in Kenya, and a child who maybe doesn't have enough to eat today, matters just as much to God as I do. And so to be a part of that and freeing up some resources and getting it to them is part of the heart of God. of what he seeks to do in this world of ours. One final thing, there's plenty of mercy and grace to go around. Because I think we, you know, in this country especially, we have been given so much. And what are we going to do with that? Let's get some in play for the sake of God and what he wants to do in this world of ours. And we may think, well, are things going to run out? With God, there is no shortage of mercy and grace. Many years after this story, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for how many people? All people. All people. Who is God for in this world? All people. And to do some things that show the love of God in practical ways with no strings attached is an expression of the heart of God toward every one of us. Simply put, with God, no one is a nobody. And to serve in God's name helps to give the value that God has given to everyone and helps us to make it real. Those of us who have received so much mercy and grace, who sit on a treasure of all different kinds, and it is a reflection of the heart of God to get that in play when there are real needs. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads together with me. And just before I pray, could it be for the very first time you recognize that what makes us right with God is not our doing. It is the mercy of God and it is the grace of God. It is what he did for us rather than what we do for ourselves. It is Jesus coming into this world, good news of great joy for all the people, and him sacrificing his life on a cross so that we could be forgiven. And we could be called holy, not because of who we are, but when we put our trust in Jesus, his righteousness becomes ours. We didn't earn it. It's like stumbling on a spiritual treasure. The way to enter a relationship with God is to place our trust in Jesus, to ask him to forgive us, and it's our commitment to walk with him. And it doesn't mean that we become perfect in this life, but that we are committed to journeying with him. And Lord Jesus, thank you for your great love for us. And thank you that we can know that that is not just words, but it has been a part of your story in this broken world of ours from the very beginning, from the time it was first needed, and it continues to this day. And God, help us to be a part of what you are doing, and help it to be in your name. And these four guys, we'll never know their names, at least not here in this world, but you know who they are. And God, I pray that in all our efforts, it wouldn't be about us, that it would be about you and what you want to unleash in all the right ways in this world. So God, lead us in the direction that helps us to express in real ways the heart of God. And help that to come from a place of deep recognition. That's what we received. And so help us, God, to join you in the great things you are doing. And may it be to your honor and to your glory. And so we ask in Jesus' name, amen.